The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Here's the deal. Max is a grappler, okay? He is a very, very good grappler. Good enough that on the lower levels of MMA, you're not beating a guy like that. Like, if there's a guy who's got elite grappling skills on the regional circuits, it's highly unlikely that somebody's going to beat him. When you get to the UFC, though, it's not all that easy. And I think he realized he was frustrated, and he realized there's really not a path for me to win this fight. Is there anyone who really thinks that the Texans still have one of the best wide receiver groups in the NFL?
Mr. Jazz Hands does on here.
I keep hearing about speed. They've got more speed now. Like, that's really what held DeAndre Hopkins back from being a great wide receiver, was he was just too damn slow. If only they could replace him with someone fast.
Listen, I'm of the opinion that I think it could work. You could actually get more production out of Cooks and Cobb than you did Hopkins. You're not better without it.
Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-ESPN. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975, at MK Pallet. As it is now time to talk a little beer with our good friend Eric Warner from Carbach.
Hi, Fred.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, AJ. How you
Hello,
guys doing?
Friend.
Yeah, we were having a great hair conversation off air, so there's that.
I don't know if you've got the video going or not.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
oh, so you can see, look at these two guys. Look at these studs with the flowing locks.
Oh.
AJ, you're next.
You guys, Oh,
it's good to see you, buddy. How are things?
Good, man. Good. Yeah, we things have been good at the brewery. We opened the beer garden back up last week, so that was good.
How long is that going to last?
Great point, man. Great point. I don't know, man. Because, I mean, it's a weird thing, right? Because Texas now is having much higher counts than it ever had before, but... the officials are saying, well, he's the governor. Well, they're not going to go backwards, right? Which I get, right? And you know what's interesting? Because I follow this stuff, man. I'm a geek for, I don't know, probably shouldn't. But, you know, the big change now is the death rate's way down. And what I think's going on is, for sure, there's evidence that it's the youngs that are getting it now. And I think they're stronger, healthier, whatever.
Right.
The olds are staying home, being more careful, but it might be
what are they dead off?
Which category do you consider yourself?
I'm in the middle. That's the problem, AJ. There's moments where I feel like, you know what, bring it on. Let me just get it over with. We've had this but then
there's also like, oh, but what if I get it and get it over with, but I die?
Right. I'm 56, you know, Father's Day yesterday.
Right.
And my boys are up in Colorado and I was thinking, oh man, I got the Rona. I may never see him again.
I think we could have easily gotten it when we were in England. Apparently, it was already all over there before people knew. We were in Vegas. I feel like I've already had it. And
I mean, you can easily get that tested.
Yeah, and I think I will at some point. Just to
like
find
get
out.
Your antibodies tested to see if you've been exposed at some point. But I mean, I don't know if I have. I it wouldn't surprise me if I had. But I also feel like if you haven't been exposed, if you find out that you haven't been exposed. Now you just feel more nervous that it's going to happen. Like, you know, oh, great, it hasn't hit me yet. If you could tell me now, I'd take an antibodies test and they'd say, yep, you've had it. I'd be like, whew, great. But
prostitute time, yes.
There's no guarantee there. So if they tell you, yeah, you haven't been exposed at all, now I'm like, oh, crap, now what?
Well, and we don't know how accurate those tests are.
And there's no evidence that just because you got it once, you can't get it again.
Right.
So it's, man, there's still just so much to be learned. But I think, you know, just be careful, you know, in, if you're out in public, don't complain about the mask for crying out loud.
I think you're what you're doing right now is you're being a shill for big government. That's what the text line thinks. Like, how about you stop fear-mongering and feeding into what
see,
the media
is. See, I'm like you, AJ. I have very independent beliefs, and I am like, for example, I'm heavy defund, but I am not for the reason that a lot of other people are. It's because I simply believe there is no reason the cops should have more guns and more power over me. As it's, everybody talks about the Second Amendment, but what about the Third Amendment about quartering soldiers, right? And that whole, I mean, the spirit of that, right? And it's like, that to me is super important, right? And yeah, I'm not saying police shouldn't be out there to protect, and they serve a very useful and important
function.
Well,
I think what you're saying is demilitarize, not defund.
Correct. Yeah, fair. Because
defund means like do away with police departments. Well, I think that's
and
ridiculous.
Even the people saying that have misused that word so badly.
Yeah.
And it's typical because you come out and say defund now and everybody thinks you're a moron because that's not exactly what they're supposed to be doing. So, and you probably are a moron, but that's another story.
And I've had, you know, friends over the years who are cops, good friends.
Oh, look at you. Fred has friends who are doctors. Look at you guys. I have black friends. So we're all
covered, man.
Yeah, we're all covered.
Oh, goodness. All right, real quick, I want you guys to tell me what you think of this Session IPA, this little new...
It's in a silver can, so I assumed it is yet to be named.
Yet to be named, and you guys are getting kind of first crack at this.
Well, there is a name on the can.
Oh.
There is a name
Don't
on the can.
Say it out loud.
I won't say it out loud.
No,
like
yeah, keep it turned towards you.
No, this one we can. This one I'm gonna tell you the story behind this beer after I hear from you guys.
You know what? I like it. It's almost weird for me to taste this kind of beer because this is like an IPA that tastes like an IPA, and those don't really exist anymore. I guess you would call this sort of a West Coast style IPA. And fewer and fewer breweries are making them because hazy IPAs have become so popular that even when they don't call it a hazy, it's still like it's super Citra forward or something like that. And so it's not the taste of old school IPA. This has some of the bitterness of an old school IPA. So it's good. It's something I haven't tasted in a while. It's not something I'm used to.
Freddie?
I always prefer the West Coast IPAs, I think. I like it a lot. It's I keep saying I'm not a big IPA guy. I've become a lot more of an IPA guy over the last couple of years. I like it. I don't like the hazy IPAs. They don't do much.
They're growing on me, man. I'm not gonna lie. They are growing on me. All right, here's the big reveal, fellas. This beer is called Free and Easy. It's coming out in September.
It's going to be free for everyone.
It is alcohol free. You are drinking an alcohol free IPA, and it worked. I was like, guys, I'm gonna take this in. I'm gonna see if I can fool these guys. And you guys aren't fooled, but that.
No, I'm fooled. I thought it.
Isn't it great, man? Yeah.
I got to be honest. The alcohol free beer to me is pointless. But for people who don't want to, you know, who can't drink alcohol but want to have a beer.
Yes.
I would highly recommend
it. So when we were brewing our beer, which I don't know when it's going to be ready or when I don't even know where that stands now, but we were talking about this and we did some taste testing and so I knew this beer was coming. And yeah, I'm with Fred. I drink so I can catch a buzz. I mean, that's part of the fun. Like, it would suck.
But
imagine smoking weed and not getting high.
Yeah, that's pointless, right?
What's the point?
But at least with this, you can hide. I think to me, you know, NA beers have always tasted so bad.
Oh, they're horrible. Oh,
yeah. And typically. this one is finally good. It's good. It's like,
and it's also, and we talked about this at the time. No one brews an NA IPA or really any style other than a basic lager. Like that's basically what your choices are. It's like, you know, in a bush or whatever it's going to be, it's all going to be basically sort of the same kind of beer, even O'Doul's, sort of the same kind of beer. So, and I remember saying that I think it's a good idea to do something other than that because otherwise you're just jumping into a market that is kind of already saturated with a bunch of crappy beers. So yeah. I think it's a good idea. Now I hope that you brought some beer that has alcohol.
I do.
In it too.
I knew. That's so funny because I can't walk out of here with that. I got some Hopadillo and Weekend Warrior. Okay. So you guys tell me what you prefer.
Well, and we brought you a beer.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's a
right.
Trade,
but believe me, I thought of that. Eric, you can't do that, man. Yeah, like if you guys had just been on a Vegas bender and I could hear it in your voices, then I would have been like, you know what? Maybe they'll appreciate this.
Yeah. No, we don't need that.
No. It's great. I don't want another sip, though. Thank you.
All right. Well, you want a Hopadillo or a Weekend Warrior?
Hopadillo.
Hopadillo.
I'm a warrior man.
You're a warrior? All right. Coming right up.
Jesse on Twitter says, ask your guests if the jobs posted on the Carbach website are current. If so, expect an application tonight.
All right. Keep them. I mean, our HR manager does a great job. She keeps that stuff pretty up to date. So, yeah, it should be what job are you applying for? That's what we need to know.
Yeah.
Eric's ball washer.
Oh, hey, you got to start somewhere, right?
Everybody there washes Eric's balls. Like, it's weird now because Eric, when I met him, he was actually like the brewer. And now, I'll be honest, I have no idea what his job is. Like, we went to go brew, and he was like, oh, yeah, I don't really know how this works. And he had to have, like, a brewer come over and basically help
us
do it.
Show us what to do, yeah.
Eric doesn't know what he's doing on that equipment. It's all too fancy for him now.
It's true, man. It's true. Although, I think if I, you know, took half a day and...
You probably... But isn't it kind of weird that you haven't taken half a day yet?
So listen.
The other
thing I was going to talk about, but I'll probably save this for next time because it won't be in the market just yet.
We'll save it for the next segment. We're hitting a break. Save it for the next segment. We'll talk about it.
But long story short, I worked two pretty whole days in packaging last week.
Oh,
ooh.
Like
earning that salary now,
dude. Like literally, like stuffing cans into opening boxes, putting cans because we did a repack. We have a new multi-pack variety thing coming out.
Were you like, were you actually like putting in work, or was this like Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail, like pretending to do stuff that she wasn't really doing? Like, just take a picture while my hands are moving.
No photo op, Poffman. I was sweating, and you know, I think the other folks on the packaging line were definitely at first laughing because I was a little slow and clumsy at first, right? But because it's all very kind of repetitive, right? Yeah. But once I figured it out, and you know, then I grooved in, but. It was a laugh, sort of. I mean, it's hard work, right? These guys, people glamorize the brewers, right? The guys that add the hops and make the recipe, but the real nuts and bolts. It's like Aaron, right? He's the guy that really makes this show function and work.
Honestly, we could really do this without him just fine.
Yeah, I learned.
He's
so,
like one of those
so
monkeys
about,
that claps the cymbals together. Like it's not that hard of a job.
But I learned so much about what you guys actually do when Tom was brewing that beer. It's impressive, man. I mean, it really is. All right, let's take a quick break. Eric's not going anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we're back on the Blitz. Eric Mayhem Warner in the house. Now we're on Hopadillo. That's a little more like it. You know what? The first time I had Hopadillo was when you had us out to the brew. It had to be, what, 8 years ago or whenever it was. It was me and AJ and Tepper and Jong, and we got Hopadillo right out of the... I mean, that was so good. I fell in love with it right then and there.
Yeah, I think we were busting into some BBH, too.
Yes.
I think I found some bottles, and I was like, hey, guys, let's try it. Because it was cold. Mm. It was like a cold January day, and we were outside in the beer garden. So
that 8 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I think it'll be 8 years this January, man.
Yeah, wow.
Nuts. Yeah, it was early on.
Yeah.
We've known you for a while,
fellas. Yeah, I mean, I've had some good nights at that place. Mm-hmm. Some concerts out there and had some good times. My brother had his 21st birthday.
Oh, I remember that.
There, and literally every one of us who went there, everyone who he came across shotgunned a rodeo clown with him, which means my brother shotgunned about 6 or 7 rodeo clowns. And then, this ties together. We went from there. We went to petrol station, which just announced over the weekend they're shutting down.
Yeah, it sucks.
Which is kind of a bummer. I'll be honest. Like, it used to be my favorite beer bar in the city. Gone downhill kind of the last couple years. Yeah. Like, they lost a cooler and never replaced it, so their tap list just got cut in half. And it never seemed like a priority for them. The owner of it opened a brewery called Brash, and I think that's kind of his new hot wife, and now his, like, you know, he's still, or maybe his new hot side piece that he now is deciding to marry, because he's like, oh, the kids are 18 now, I can divorce her without too much issue. But that's what it feels like, kind of. He'd been paying less and less attention to her, and now finally it's just the relationship's dead.
Well, there was a time when that place was one of the few places you could get really good beer.
Yeah.
And then once everybody started being able to do it, the last time I went was on a bike ride, and it was about a year ago, and it just didn't feel like the same place.
But on my brother's birthday, I stumbled into the bathroom to find him, and he had his face on the toilet seat, except his mouth was facing the wrong way, and he'd thrown up on the floor. And we were asked to leave petrol station at that point, which was honestly
probably
was fair.
Right idea.
That was fair. I mean, it really was.
If you throw up in the bar and not in the toilet,
yeah,
you probably need to be kicked out.
Not yeah, good. It's really interesting, guys, how this is shifting, right? And I think COVID is going to, you know, accelerate that shift. But you used to go to the bar,
mm-hmm.
the craft beer bar that had, you know,
20,
30. Gazillions of taps, right? Yeah. Well, if you think about it now, if I'm a bar owner opening up, do I want a lot of inventory of beer to start? No, probably not. But the breweries now, my goodness, we were talking about a couple during the break that have these amazing selections for everything from pilsners and lighter styles to hazy IPAs to milkshake IPAs, you know, you name it. So you can now go to the brewery and get, but it's funny, Fred, I'll never forget this. There's a really popular one in Colorado called Weldworks. AJ knows it for sure. But Aiden, my oldest, had his graduation party there 2 years ago, and my grandpa goes in, and or his grandpa goes in and is like, oh, yeah, what's the closest thing you got to, like, a, you know, a light beer? And we're like, they're not going to have that here. And I think it was like a kind of a hazy pale ale. Was about because
mostly they're doing, like, fruited sours or stouts with a bunch of adjuncts.
Yeah.
But that's a good place. But yeah, they're not doing any basic beers. There's different types of craft breweries. I mean, you guys, because you're marketing to such a broader audience. I mean, Love Street is such it really is a good introductory craft beer. Like I'll take Love Street to my dad, who's been a Bud Light guy his whole life. And he'll drink it and be like, oh, that's good. Yeah, it tastes like Bud Light. Or I mean, it's better than Bud Light, you can tell, but to him it's close enough that he doesn't mind.
Right.
If I try to bring him an IPA, he's I don't like this. But I mean, there's some breweries though that they target a smaller audience and of the hardcores. We call them the neckbeards. And they want the coconut, hazelnut, vanilla, cacao nibs, cinnamon, double pastry stout, and the tropical, you know, hazy, blah, 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 IPA, New England style, whatever. That's all they want. And they don't want to try any of the other stuff, that's fine too. But there's different breweries for different folks. And some of those breweries aren't worried about losing out on guys who only want beer that tastes like big beer. They're just like, oh, if they leave, okay, how much of their business were we really going to get anyway? You know, if we don't have a, if you walk into a brewery and say, I want something that tastes like Coors Light and you don't have it, they're like, well, I'm never coming back here. Okay. How much was he going to impact your business?
Don't
anyway?
Think that guy was coming back to begin
with. Yeah. You're all right with that.
But a lot of guys are doing these seltzers now, which is, they'll say, here, this is the closest thing.
That's marketing to a different people. That's marketing to people who don't like beer, but they still want to. But I mean, they still want to have something to sell to those people, which is that's smart too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got something like that, and I think like with you guys Rattlers, there's probably a lot of people who will drink those Rattlers that don't normally drink beer.
For sure.
And it's seltzers; those are becoming more in vogue. It's just breweries are trying to broaden their base. Like, what we want to attract these guys, but you know, I think even you guys, like when you guys put out the new BBH stuff, you're still trying to make, you know, some neckbeards happy. That's you guys do a good job of balancing, I think. But obviously, Love Street, Hopadillo, Crawford Bach, that's what pays the bills.
Yeah, you know? For sure, man. And
anything else you do is it's for fun.
And because we're, you know, more into mass distribution, if you will, you know, I guess one of the realities of that is, you know, you got to make styles that are a little more approachable to a broader stream of people.
But that's also something that's changed since we met. Like, Carbach as a whole has changed that. Like, because as they've gotten bigger and obviously distribution's gotten so much bigger, you have to adjust that. But I mean, when I met you, I would guess you guys, like, especially that Fun Series, that was a big part of what Carbach was that Fun Series. That brought a bunch of people into you guys' brewery.
Yeah, it's very funny, AJ, because one of our, I don't want to say original strategies, but let's say 2 or 3 years in was, because that's when barrel-aged beers were really going crazy, high ABV beers. And so we were like really sort of gearing the brewery up for that. And it's funny because one of the breweries we were talking about during the break, you know, they're really doing a lot with the, you know, fruited sours and that kind of thing. And I was talking with the manager there yesterday. They got running the tap room. And it's like, man, think about it. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, you'd go in and you'd get a bottle of something like this, and they would tell you, oh, yeah, man, stash that in your, you know, cellar for a year. Don't even think about it. And now these beers, like, and the hazy IPAs, it's like, no.
Drink
it right away.
Yeah, and that's become tough for me. That's why I don't typically have IPAs in my fridge. I'll get them every once in a while, but because you have to drink them right away. And really, like, adjunct stouts and things like that. And those fruited sours, especially the guys that are using real fruit.
Yep.
And respect to those guys.
For sure.
But those beers, like, if you don't keep them in the fridge, they'll explode. Because when you put all that fruit in, they're still fermenting every day. Every
That's
day
right.
you don't open it, it's still working. And eventually, it's going to explode. Same if you put a bunch of adjuncts in something, like into a stout. If you just let it sit there, eventually it's going to run out of can space. But yeah, so they do kind of more and more breweries are encouraging you to enjoy fresh.
Which is great, because honestly, most beer should be enjoyed that way. I mean, obviously this, you know, this Falcon 9 that Fred hooked me up with, you know, that is the kind of beer that, you know, you do want to.
Or Lambic. Like, I've got a bunch of old Lambic, and I love when Lambic has time on it. And nobody here is doing that, obviously. So it really depends on the beer itself, but I think the style of beers that more and more people are drinking they just need to be drank ASAP, you know, which is fine too. Well, I've got so much beer saved up that I'll never be able to drink all the beer I've got in my fridge.
Just a little secret. I'm going to age one of these for a year and then bring it in on one Monday so the four of us can drink it.
Yeah.
So it
tastes awesome. Oh man.
So,
but here's the other thing. By then, we won't remember exactly what it tasted like today.
No. The barrel-aged version will have been out by then, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll say, oh, it's good, but was it as good as it was a year ago? Hell, I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember that?
I think Eric would remember. I probably wouldn't.
I don't know.
You will too, Fred. I mean, you've got a lot vested in that.
I count so much on my untapped notes.
Yeah,
to know if I enjoyed a beer then, or if it's, you know, and there's times when I'll try a beer and then I try it again aged and I'm like, oh, I probably waited too long on this. It's lost some, you know, that happens a lot. And that's kind of the downside to aging beer is it's not always better when you sit on it.
Well, yeah, I think
a couple like that.
I mean, this beer, I am really looking forward to trying it, but I know you've had it, AJ, and you've spoken very highly of it. So I think as long as a beer makes a initial positive impression, then it's if a beer just kind of makes a meh wallflower impression, then I think it's hard to go a year later. And then it's really have to be, it has to be a lot different. It either has to be like, oh my God, this got so much better, or, oh shoot, unfortunately something's, you know, gone wrong with it. But, well, we'll have to do that experiment, Fred.
Yeah, definitely. I'm saving one of those, and I think you'll enjoy it because it turned out fantastic. I can't wait for the barrel age version. We've got it'll be the smaller bottles.
Yep.
And they'll be doing the first test here pretty soon. But Whitmire's bourbon rye barrels is what we used.
Oh, man.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Boy, the world's just a little bit better when you're drinking a beer.
It does make everything a little better.
Yeah. St. Patrick wanted me to ask you if you're ever making Bodacious again. It was one of his favorite beers ever.
No immediate plans. We do have some barley wines aging in wood. Those kind of get you in the ballpark. But yeah, I agree with you, sir. That and the original Roll in the Hay 004, those were just, I occasionally will pop one of those 004s. And even that's what's surprising to me is that a lighter Saison like that after, you know, 7-8 years is still holding up. But yeah, we were talking about that, you know, during the break, but just the barrel-aged beers, they just kind of hit a wall, you know, a couple of years ago. And there's still a spot for them out there, but they aren't as, like, dominant as they were 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, and it seemed like, and you can speak this better than me, but it just seemed like everybody got to where they were doing them, but they were kind of half-assing them. They're, like, aging them for 3 months and things like that and calling it barrel-aged, and it just kind of flooded the market. And then you had to sort of pick between the good ones and the ones you had to ask people how long did they age them and things like that. And I know it doesn't matter sometimes. It depends on the barrels, but 3 months, you know, versus – and because you want to sell them. I get it. You don't want them to sit there for 6 months where you're not making any money.
Right.
But I kind of feel like that happened a lot.
Yeah, no doubt, Fred. There was a lot of – I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think the guys that first put them out, like, you know, 20-plus years ago, there was this novelty. Oh, my goodness, this is amazing. And those guys then perfected it. And so there was this small set of guys out there really doing the barrel-aged beer as well. But, yeah, probably around, you know, 2012, that's when everybody started getting in that game. And, yeah, there's going to be some crap out there.
Because at the time, like the BBHs were always my favorite because I knew what you guys were doing with them. And then everybody else starts doing them. And some of them are good, some of them not so much. I think it's... the time commitment it takes to where you're basically not getting any money while it's sitting there, I think turns a lot of people off. But there's still some good ones being made, and there's enough for me. So I'm happy with that. But I'm okay with there not being as many because I can find the ones that I like. And, you know, this one I'm excited about, but I have no idea how it's going to turn out. You know, that's the other thing, too. You think it's going to be good, but I've had some that, you know, people are, we aged it in this, we did this, oh, this is going to be great. And then you taste it, like, didn't quite work out.
I mean, you got a lot of good things working for you. Local barrels, fresh barrels, that's a huge start. And obviously the whiskey is amazing. So I have very little doubt, Fred, that it's going to turn out really well. Now, you know, then the brewers, True Anomaly, I'm sure they know this too. But, you know, yeah, you got to make sure the barrels are full. You don't want to only partially fill them. And if you do all that, it'll be great. I'm
real excited about it, but I'm nervous about it. It's kind of like, because, you know, this was the whole idea to have Whitmire's barrels. And then when we chose that bourbon rye mix, which is fantastic. If you guys haven't had it yet, I highly recommend you go up there and get a bottle. You can get it in specs. It's all over the place. So it's like, I just want it to be so good. Because for them, you know, I mean, I'll drink whatever, you know, I'll be fine. I'll say, yeah, yeah, not bad, not bad. But for those guys, I really want it to work out and be something that people really appreciate. And so far, so good with the first one. And that's the other thing, too, is like, I don't want to mess this up either.
Well, the good news about those barrel-aged beers is you get to do frequent progress tasting. So,
yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to hear from Tom on that, so I can go and check that out. But yeah. So what else you guys got going on? I mean, what's so you're obviously going to have this coming. Are you and the concerts and stuff are still on hold?
Yeah, sure. Man, that's all still on hold for now. We're just like a lot of people, just trying to ease back into it. And you know, one thing we're doing, we're using this Toast app a lot, both outside the brewery and once you get to the brewery. So we're trying to create an experience where, you know, we're balancing, hey, I'm in a beer garden, there's people around, there's music, there's fun stuff going on, but also, you know, for people that are venturing out but are a little apprehensive, we're trying to create a very safe space. So we have this like no touch ordering system. So if you get the Toast app, download it on your phone. There's actually QR codes on the table. So you can like QR code in your order and the server will like bring you your food, bring you your beer. You don't have to get up. Like,
yeah, I've noticed a lot of people doing that. And I think it's a good thing. What worries me, and we were talking about this earlier in the show, it's like I love the idea that there's not as many people, that we're distance and there's no contact and all that. But I also, and for you guys, I know it's not as big a deal because, you know, you're selling so much out of the brewery that, you know, that you're distributing, but going to a lot of these places around my area, having a blast being out, being responsible, also very concerned about their ability to make money.
Fred, it's heartbreaking. I don't really know any other word to use, but that's why I'm trying to get out. Is again, it's like, I know the probably smartest, safest thing to do is like go to the store once a week and cook everything at home, but hey, I've been accused of not being the smartest and safest guy on the planet, so I'm trying to get out and support these guys
and that's what we're doing. We're doing 2 days a week, but in the old days we'd be out 4 or 5 nights a week.
Yep.
But I mean, we're trying to do two and just to help support people, but you know, realistically I could do none and be fine.
And it's funny. I was listening, you know, and it's amazing. I know I talked about this the last couple of times with you guys. Just blown away at how little traffic there is. I got here again at, you know, like 5:30 and was just sitting, you know, listening to you guys, the conversation about being okay with sports. And that's a scary thing too, right? Like, you know, baseball is definitely shooting themselves in the foot. But you're right, AJ. It's like, man, you sort of get used to it. It's like, then when it comes back, it's like, well,
we're detoxed from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like it's
we've gone through withdrawal.
Yeah.
And when it got cut off. We just had the Super Bowl, yes, and we're going into March Madness.
Dude, I'm telling you, like when they canceled March Madness, I was hurting. I was disappointed. I was
heartbroken over the damn Roughnecks.
But I mean, now, okay, all right. I had my, I can't believe this. What? When are things going to get back to normal? Now baseball's talking about not playing a season. I'm like, oh, okay, bye. See you. Girl, bye.
See you, I think Fred's right though. I think I think it's because for me this is always a bit of a sports lull time of year anyway. You know, NBA and NHL finals have just wrapped up. And so it's kind of, all right, you got baseball and a couple golf majors, and that's about it. So I'm not ready to quite go as far as you. Let's see what happens in September if heaven forbid, there is no football. That will rock this country to the core.
Yeah.
But I just don't know with all these positive cases testing up at colleges. Because
I'm almost sure. I don't think college football is going to happen. I'm going to say it now. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think in my article for Wednesday, I think I put it at 40%.
And I think just from last week to this week, when we heard about Dr. Fauci saying if the NFL wants to play, it's going to have to be in like sort of a bubble scenario. And last week, I was like, God, that's crazy. I can't imagine that would work. And now I'm thinking, that might have to be it.
Well, you saw that thing that the NFL threw out yesterday about this they have these three tiers.
Yep.
Yeah, so they've got, they've at least the NFL is seems to be proactively addressing it, but
well, that's the plan. That's what I said. You need to always have a backup plan in case things get worse. You go to this. Gets worse, go to this.
But yeah, I mean the universities, you know, they've got the everybody, you know, it's all about lawsuits, right? That's what all of this is ultimately, unfortunately, all about.
And the colleges, you think about it, with as many schools as there are, as many players as there are, there's 10 times the problems that you have with the NFL. And not only are you interacting with other players, and you're interacting with other students. And the possibility to spread the thing is just, you know, through the roof. So I think the NFL more likely than college football, which sucks. But as long as I have one of them, I'll probably be okay.
So, Fred, gotta ask. I'm sure you got your finger on the pulse of this. What's going on up north? Where is the CFL at?
I don't think there's going to be a CFL this year.
Because they get going about now, right?
Well, yeah, they start right now, yeah. And I think Canada's going to stay closed longer than we are, which, and that actually plays into the NHL and some of these other teams. You can't cross the border right now. So they're going to have to get special permission for hockey players to go to these hubs if they're in the States, or they're looking at three in Canada as well to come from the States to go to Canada. They're going to have to get special permission. I think the same thing's going to happen with any Blue Jays or Raptors that live up there. All of that, which I'm sure they'll get, but it kind of sucks that those guys can cross the border and I can't. Can't go see our family. But, oh well.
Get that dual citizenship.
Val can't go either. She has dual citizenship.
She can't get in?
No. No, she cannot get in.
Just by virtue of the fact she has been in America.
Yeah.
She can't get in quarantine? Like she went to Louisiana or something?
I think she, I don't know, talking to her. She was talking to her sister the other night, and she was very upset that she couldn't get into her own country. So.
Well, that's just for being born in a crappy country.
Tell you what.
Sorry for your third world luck.
I just think they're being really smart by not letting a-hole Americans up there right now. Well. So,
how about win a war and then tell me how great the place is?
You know what? Maybe some countries don't need to go to war.
0-0.
Hey. The Canadians were very helpful in World War II. Let's not forget our Canadian allies in World War II.
Don't get her started on the War of 1812, by the way. That did not go well for us. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
But I guess you changed her mind.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you about Elate Health, a new guy that's on with us, Dr. Andrew Doe. And if you have an enlarged prostate, BPH, like some of the symptoms, frequent need to urinate, increased urination at night, difficulty starting to pee. If that's you or anyone you know, here's the deal. You don't need surgery because, trust me, I saw what happens in these surgeries. One of them involves a drill inside you. And the other one involves getting stitches on your prostate, and they both have the potential to lead to impotency. I'm out on all of those things. Well, Dr. Doe is too. That's why he does a procedure called PAE, an advanced, minimally invasive procedure, uses X-ray technology to treat your prostate, and it's an outpatient procedure. You're in and out right there at the office of Elate Health down in the Med Center. Nobody in Houston's done as many PAE procedures as Dr. Doe. He is the guy you want, and he's a guy like us, man. This is the kind of he's a military vet. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's my kind of guy. Covered by most insurance plans. Learn more today, 832-860-4618, 832-860-4618. Don't get the drill. Check them out, choosepae.com. That's choosepae.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. You want to do your dumbass report or just sit here and drink with Eric in the last segment? That was interesting.
I got a couple stories I can tell you guys.
Well, tell us.
There's a man in his 50s, much like you, the two of you, in China, who went to a hospital in Guangdong.
Guangdong?
Guangdong.
Guangdong?
doctors were shocked by what they found during the emergency surgery. How about a 16-inch eel in his bunghole? Also, when he inserted said fish, it was alive. The live fish tore through the man's intestines before dying and getting stuck in his abdomen for a week. He claimed to use the creature to solve his constipation problems after following a folk remedy.
Not wise, guys.
The news came to light after the man sought medical attention due to severe abdominal pain. He's fully recovered after they removed the dead fish from his belly. Dr. Lee said, we suspected there was a foreign object in his abdominal cavity from a CT scan, but we couldn't tell where it came from. That's the thing about this, shoving random stuff up your bum. It's always embarrassing to tell the doctor, so they always make up a lie, and then they have to, like...
Oh, yeah, remember the guy who had the thing in his his penis last week?
The cell phone charger.
Yeah.
It makes it way harder for the doctors. You just say, look, doc, I put a live eel in my ass. I was constipated. Usually doctors will be like, oh, that's a horrible idea, but at least now we know we can fix it. It's not like doctors immediately get on Twitter and say, hey, you won't believe what this guy in my office is telling me.
I would if I were a doctor.
I would too, but that's illegal for doctors. And you would dumbass.
I do it under a fake name.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, if I were to go in and say, listen, I went full Richard Gere. I need you to get this gerbil out of my ass. I'd rather just tell the doctor.
It just seems like it makes things a lot easier when you just tell the truth. A Rikers Island inmate escaped to the rooftop of the jail on Sunday morning. This just 3 days after he was caught trying to swim away for his escape. He really wanted out of Rikers Island. Arthur Brown, who was being housed at Rikers, was pulled down from the roof on Sunday at 9 a.m. after another failed escape attempt.
Dumbass!
This was his second attempt in a week. Extremely embarrassing for the Department of Corrections, they said. Correction Commissioner Cynthia Brand is livid and heads could roll. The incident's under investigation. There will be immediate staff suspensions if warranted. The detainee was quickly apprehended and returned to custody. A top-down investigation of how he was allowed to get away twice is set to take place. On Sunday, he managed to get himself onto the roof of a three-story building before guards spotted him and surrounded the building. Last week, he was caught swimming. He was tied into a stretcher this week and lowered from the roof, apprehended within 30 minutes of making it to the roof. So I guess you got to give him some credit for persistence, and plus heads are going to roll because of him, so he's doing something right. Two stories this weekend of people defacing or trying to wash away Black Lives Matter signs. And in both cases, they were cops and caught on camera.
Guys.
Yeah. One in Catonsville, Maryland. An off-duty police officer was caught in the act of erasing Black Lives Matter messages written by children. And if you want to go to a bigger one, Ventura County, Thousand Oaks, California, Darren Stone, who's a Sheriff's Department service technician, slashed a banner with a knife and tried to cut it down early Friday. He was off duty. So was someone in the DA's office who was also there with him helping him out. So not wise, guys. Obviously, investigation. My guess is both guys end up getting fired over that.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. What do I know? And I've got a good story, but I guess we'll have to wait till tomorrow about a pizza place that offered a dress as a Ku Klux Klan at the Black Lives Matter protest for a pizza promotion, but then they were hacked.
Oh, of course they were.
Quote fingers.
Not wise.
They said,
guys,
oh, we didn't even know who the Ku Klux Klan were before then. Oh, okay.
All right. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. Great job, Eric Warner. Glad you hung around, man. Till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.